Educators Amplified, the podcast.
Educators Amplified, Educators Amplified.
Where we amplify educators' voice,
amplify students' experience,
amplify well-being,
amplify hope,
amplify what's really going on in our public schools,
amplify solutions to restore the education profession,
amplify new possibilities.
I'm Joanna.
And I'm Hallie.
We see you.
We hear you.
We are you.
Educators Amplified, the podcast.
Welcome to Educators Amplified. Oh, we just keep doing it. We are feeling so good, so energized, so supported. Keep the connections coming, y'all. Well, I think today we're here to really kind of just talk about.
We're going to do a little, like, I call it a little jam band sesh.
Okay.
We're just going to, just the two of us, we don't have a guest today. We're in the new year because it's 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just going to start off 2023. Just Joanna and I chatting it up about education.
Well, of course, because it's the new year, people always think about, like, what needs to be better? What needs to change? What do I want to feel different? And thinking of that in education, well, we'd need about, you know, a month straight to go through all that.
So for this episode, we're going to do a We See You, We Hear You, We Are You, you know, because that's our thing. And we're going to do first We See You. And then for each one, though, we're going to kind of talk about what we're seeing and then offer like a 2023 resolution, hopeful spin on what we want to see or how things could be different in the See You, Hear You, Are You. Okay.
Okay. But it does make you think, and there actually has been, at first there was some kind of hope and optimism, you know, when things had to change due to the pandemic, there was hope and optimism that structurally, you know, philosophically, that there would be major shifts in education that would benefit students, you know? And for many who have really been championing that and working on that, I think the hope is dimming.
Yeah.
And I don't think it should, like, forever be dim, but it just, it didn't happen. It's not linear like that. We're like, things must change. Cool. So let's change. I think, no, like, there's that part of change where there's resistance, you know, like transition is hard. Looking at things as they are is difficult. And I actually feel like right now we're in a period of resistance, whether people realize and that it's active resistance or if it just is more subconscious and passive.
So what you're saying is what I can see that we're seeing.
Yeah.
Or that people are talking about. I guess I'll say when I heard you talking about, like, COVID had a real opportunity to be able to recreate schools and restructure them to be just different or meet children's needs in new, cool, innovative ways. What I feel we're seeing, though, post-pandemic is the effects of people who have gone through a pandemic. But we're in a school system that doesn't recognize that. So what that looks like, what I'm seeing is just like, well, one, the fatigue and the low stamina continues, like, to school.
Right.
Like, I really see this separation of there's school and there's work. And, like, working with high schoolers, you know, they have part-time jobs. And sometimes I think to myself, like, I can try to drill to them, like, you got to be at school because the opportunities that come and what comes with the future by having a diploma, yada, yada, yada. But I'm also like, well, during the pandemic that happened, what got canceled? School. What didn't get canceled? Their part-time jobs.
Right.
So I do see that contributing to their view on the importance of or the priority of going to school versus making it to their job.
Yeah. Well, and because we definitely have seen that. Mm-hmm. Like, they do have a commitment. They'll talk very openly about their commitment to work. Good observation, though. Mm-hmm. Like, right, that never stopped.
No. Like, that was what was always crazy to me is mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, just, yeah. Like, kids had to be away from their school environments. But yeah, I just said this, but not from their work environments. And I don't expect workplaces to be able to help or offer any kind of developmental, you know, progress or needs in a workplace. But in schools, I do. But that's what was missing. And so then that's just what I see.
Well, originally, when students returned back, we noticed a lack of physical stamina, mm-hmm. like literally the physical stamina. Now we're... The physical stamina seems mm-hmm. better.
Bounce back.
But it is the
social, like, emotional.
Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. attention, mm-hmm. you know, like a length of focus kind of stamina. And so, right. What I was thinking about before when you said something about, like, it presented this opportunity, you know, for things to be different. Because also we saw a different set of needs. Mm-hmm. Or it exposed the real needs, mm-hmm. the need for communication, connection, you know, community.
Yep.
But because we are in the model that we're in and we've been in, where it's academically obsessed, mm-hmm. there are not systemic answers to that. Mm-hmm. It is viewed as something on the side of, like, oh, well, the kids need more, you know, opportunities with their peers. Be sure you develop a community in your classroom, okay?
Yep.
Just make sure you do that in your classroom, which, again, of course, but that is not enough right now. Mm-hmm. There has to be larger efforts mm-hmm. to have strong school communities and schools as places of straight up comfort mm-hmm. and belonging. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we're sharing our experience as high school teachers.
But even while you were talking, it made me think about talking with elementary teachers, even my own children, where I can see it's a lot of academics mm-hmm. that, like, the social time that's built in is recess, lunch. But otherwise, like, during the whole day, it's math, reading. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, it's not community building. You know, or it's
right.
Or it's,
and right. The whole idea of that, just because you're in the same room with a group of people doesn't mean it's a community.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I see that.
Right. That it's assumed, not intentional. Yes. And we have to have intentional efforts for school communities.
Yeah. So, like, my 2023 resolution or wish or hope is moving schools more towards either the integration of, or the, you know, like, okay, I'm gonna go big picture, like flipping it, where right now, let's say 80% of a student's day is academics and 20% is...
Or what they call academics now, because on some correct. Other episode, maybe I'm gonna challenge that.
Right, yeah. But let's say 80% of a student's schedule right now is very much like go to this class, or you have this many minutes of math, this many minutes of reading, and then maybe 20% built in by lunch, by a recess, or by a passing time, depending on what grade level you are. I would love for that to flip, or, like, you know, that's big picture, but, like, be more equitable of, like, how can we make it so that instead of only measuring a child's math score, let's measure how often a child is outdoors. Mm-hmm. Or let's be more intentional about having more times of community building. Or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That, like, the focus switching more to the integration of well-being and learning, and not just, mm-hmm. well, hopefully we can sub it in sometime at some point with some mm-hmm. scripted curriculum.
And that is what I see has been the barrier, is mm-hmm. that we can acknowledge a need, but this is the only way that we've ever dealt with it. And because then that's also the introduction or how it's talked about of like an SEL curriculum.
Yeah.
They'll be like, the kids need SEL.
Well, so, an SEL is social emotional learning.
Yes.
Just for context.
Right. So now they're like, that's the kids need SEL. So again, the way
the mind frame, now.
The mind frame of how it's going to be inserted is in an the traditional academic fashion. Like, oh, we'll present the SEL through a curriculum.
Yep. It's to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, there's no like, do something organic. Or I'm just like, you know, what about the good old fashioned icebreaker games?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now it's all like, that you just authentically do and you have a good time. Now it's like, everybody needs to get the same instruction on social emotional learning. You know what I mean? So yeah. I would love it to just be more like free, open, and then big picture. Like, I would just love for us to be able to prioritize. And maybe schools can start measuring how often they're outside, how often they're moving, how often students are able to just create and imagine on their own, you know,
yeah,
stuff like
well,
that.
Well, you know, you're talking about transformation.
Yeah.
And what you just described earlier, like how, you know, if you present it through a curriculum in the way that it's talked about now, that's transactional. And transactional is what we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting all transformational. But yeah, that's what we want in 2023.
Oh, yeah.
Real transformation.
Yep. Right, so that's our CU. Now let's do we hear you. So what are things that we're hearing? Something that comes to my mind right away is I am hearing a lot about, okay, so we are in Wisconsin and ready, I'm about to educate y'all if you don't know this. Okay, so we're in Wisconsin, and I know this is nationwide, but I can speak specifically for Wisconsin right now. There's this organization called WisRed, okay, that's all about, it's basically extreme right-wing agenda. And what I mean by that is there's a real privatization effort to really change or restrict what happens in public schools. And on a level of what teachers can teach, on a level of what students can, you know, like what kind of information they can be exposed to. And because I live in an area that leans more red, I hear it all the time from neighbors, from community members, from people like that.
Mm.
And it is terrifying at times if you really think about it. Like there is this concerted effort to really take over school boards. And so that's what I'm hearing a lot about from, you know, like I've been hearing stories from Kettle Moraine, from Arrowhead, from, you know, all over about these school boards who are really changing how schools function in a way to really help and serve students or taking up a lot of time questioning what are the professionals' jobs. So for example, like a school board who's looking to privatize education will question like English and language arts standards, for example. So they'll be like, you know, and there are these like standards or things that teachers just know. Of course, we're going to teach how to write, how to read, how to speak, you know, like these human traits that we need to have. But they'll comb through it all and really pick out things about equity or pick out things about social justice or pick out things that they perceive as propaganda almost.
Mm-hmm. Indoctrination, I think, is the term they use.
Yes. And what's frustrating me about it is I am like, this is a profession. This is a child's majority of their experience in their life. And the attack that's on it is just so unproductive and so misaligned to like what schools really are. Like, I don't know teachers who are out here being like, have these social justice agendas and convincing children and brainwashing them into things. But there is a lot of people, and now they have these positions of power by taking over school boards, who believe that. So I hear a lot about that, and I hear community members scared or in fear of what's going to happen to their children. I hear a lot of community members like trying to fight back against this to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, no, no, no.
Well, and I hear professionals concerned that then they don't, again, we got problems with people being in the profession right now because of working conditions.
Yes.
And then this is another layer of it's not helping, because professionals really are like, whoa, if those are the beliefs, the guiding principles, the policies that are going to be enacted through different understanding, really, you know, it's a different interpretation of how learning is taking place and what things are quote unquote taught.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear that it's definitely has people in fear. When you want to draw attention to a profession, you certainly don't want to narrow things.
Right.
You kind of want to open it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so I just see this large mistrust coming through. And even if you plant a seed of doubt, that's more what I see. Like, I think people will get scared of like this big swooping event that will happen to like completely just like burn public education to the ground. Yeah. And I see it more as little seeds like boop, 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 dropped of doubt and mistrust.
Yeah.
That's what will influence people's ultimate mistrust in education if we don't continue to educate people and be like, no, 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 no. Like, hey, I honor and respect a school board, and yes, they serve a purpose, but there's also the professionals who are trained, who understand, you know, like the greater well-being or of children, and then the greater like context of the profession.
Mm-hmm. Well, in another aspect, I hear it as everybody feels their safety is threatened. And right now I'm talking psychological safety on both ends. Like the groups that are advocating for that really are in fear that, you know, something terrible is happening to their children or their community or has the potential to. The people who are in the profession are psychologically unsafe of like, you know, questioning their work and the choices they've made and how they go about, you know, right? I mean, you really never used to think twice about running down to the library and grabbing the books and be like, okay, like, cool, you know, or we do that all the time. We write to our librarian and like, the kids are looking at this. They're so awesome, right?
Right.
They put together a little collection for you and write. But I think now, teachers are feel unsafe to be like, okay, should I be supplementing with the library? And I think some people can write it off as like, it seems too far-fetched to actually like be real. You know what I mean? So it's a complex issue. And I'll say just what not helping.
No. And it's, well, and especially during, I mean, we talk about all the time, a teacher exodus.
Right.
You know, like, that's another layer of what's contributing to it. Of like, people are like, I can't handle this gross mistrust of me as a professional on that level.
Yeah. And so it's getting at, though, when I brought up the issue of psychological safety, you know, how do you satisfy that for everyone? I think it's possible. But that's more, that's the effort, not, you know, not the exterior, external things like the actual books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's,
you mean like banning books?
Yeah.
So
the books or
like,
the policy. I'm like, the focus right now is on the externals. The issue is everybody feels unsafe somehow or feels like, you know, threatened.
Yeah.
And so the real issue is, how do you put people at ease and, you know, recognize that everyone, you know, in order to learn, students to learn best, professionals to perform their best, you have to have a level of psychological safety. So the issue is really just feeling threatened.
Yep.
But it'll hang out in...
Right, banning a book or...
Policy, yes, and externals. Policy,
yep.
And again, that goes back to what we talked about, what we see.
Mm-hmm.
The idea and what we're really interested in ask our listeners to think about is the real issue is that, yeah, is threat. You can call it,
mm-hmm,
you know, school boards and policies and feeling like your job is micromanaged, but the human need is threat.
Yeah. So when I hear you talking, and related to all of that is, on one end, someone could think I'd be like, get all those people off the school boards. But I'm more like, I want more people to be educated or just understanding about the function of a school in a community, the importance of it for our democracy, and viewing schools as a space for children to really grow, learn, and flourish. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I see as missing too. I totally understand, like, the threat, but I'm also like, when we don't have a clear vision of what schools are or could be, mm-hmm, and how they help us function in a community, it's easy to break away at it.
Yeah.
So that's my big hope, is that people will continue to get more and more understanding, or, you know, a deeper conviction to, like, fighting for and keeping public schools.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I do believe that is part of the motivation or inspiration behind this podcast,
mm-hmm,
was trying to help bring forward a unified feeling about who are schools for, what are they about.
Yeah.
And right, if you think about policy and legislation, it's like I said, it's physical books. It's purchased curriculum. Like, that's how they talk about it. And we're like, no, we're with people every day.
Yes.
We're with kids every day.
Yes.
And they're humans.
Right.
And that's the work of the school, is the whole, whether you want to believe that or not, it's like, it is what it is.
Right.
Like, you are taking care of humans.
Right.
And gosh, you think about all the things, like, in between. There's the actual work, like, if you want to view school work as, like, things you're assigning and completing and presenting. And then there's, like, what's going on all the time. This person is late. This person is struggling. This person cut their hand. This person wants to take a COVID test because they don't feel good. That's the majority. And in terms of, like, skillfully working through that too, I'm not saying that too is like, what's a school just dealing with kids and they all have these needs. It's just, no, it's actually like, that's the beautiful art and science of it, is weaving that all together.
Right. I always say kids aren't robots. So it's not 24 plus kids all sitting in the rows in the classroom like, ah, it's math time, so I'm ready, right? It's, mm-hmm, all those things that just naturally happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't make them bad. It doesn't make them naughty. It just makes them kids who are, mm-hmm, growing and developing.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting back, connecting back to that. You know, I even think about how, right, my kids are at school for 7 to 8 hours a day. Like, I always think about, like, if they're still sleeping when I leave for work, I don't see them until they get done with school. And so we're talking maybe 3 to 4 hours in a day that I see them,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I'll be like, right, I want where they are to be a place where they can be themselves,
mm-hmm,
you know, that it isn't just like, sit there and take notes, kid, mm-hmm, you know, like
that's a thing you've talked about for a long time, of, mm-hmm, being like, school is compulsory. It's mandated by law. And, mm-hmm, so we have to be about more than just academic and direct
instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That it's about the full development of humans. And like I said, I don't know that that's just a philosophy or a belief. If you're in it, you're like, no, that's what it is.
Right, right. Yeah.
I can't separate it and be like, I'm just teaching you.
Right. Yeah.
And because, or I can't imagine, you can't survive if you do that because you literally can't do it.
Right. Can you imagine being like, I will only talk to you about the math right now.
Right.
You know, like kids are kids. Right. Like, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
You're asking for the bathroom. That's not about math. You don't feel well right now. Sorry, I don't discuss that. You know, like right.
It's not human.
And ultimately, anybody who's feeling threatened, nobody wants that.
Right.
Everybody wants their kids to feel safe and cared for. So again, that's why I brought up threat in whichever space it is. They want it. We all want to feel safe and cared for. And so for 2023, for me, it's like, yeah, so how do we get better at doing that? And remembering like that's the focus. And then those other things do come.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Okay, so now we are you. One second. Do you remember when we started the podcast and we were like, well, every time we'll say we are you together. Mm-hmm. We've never done that. So we are you. Okay.
But yeah, we are you. Well, coming off of that human discussion, that is the most beautiful part, is that whatever age of children you're working with, when you're an educator, you're with them. You mm-hmm. are them too, in terms of you remembering yourself at that age, or having an area of expertise around a specific age group because you've been around that age so long, and just your humanness. So we are you. I think you mentioned earlier that we've been noticing in our students just a lack of kind of like emotional stamina. Mm-hmm. Like it's just, it's harder. And trust me, through that period between Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's gray.
And now into the cold months.
Right. It's gray. It's mm-hmm. cold. There's a lot of conditioning too that just comes with the kind of the chaos and stress.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. So we are you is about just kind of in a way mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And mental health, again, to me is a general term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's...
There's physical health, there's mental
health. Yeah, it's just like an awareness of how am I feeling? What am I thinking about? How is that impacting my decisions and what I'm experiencing? And something that I think is really interesting is that right before we went on break for Christmas, probably a couple weeks before that, there was a lot coming out about like youth mental health
mm-hmm.
and saying that the number one barrier to learning that middle school and high schoolers were reporting was stress, anxiety, and overwhelm. So this is now being acknowledged.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, earlier we talked about like, I don't know that we have something on the ready to address it, mm-hmm. but I got some ideas. And so, but mm-hmm. something that I find, so I'm combing over all these kinds of articles that are talking about like, this is a main issue. And I'm always frankly irritated that there has been like one answer. Like how many things are we like, and here's the solution? Like,
mm-hmm.
but with this youth mental health thing, I keep hearing like the same solution.
Yeah.
Over and over. Mm-hmm. And it really is a variation of we need more counselors, we need more therapists, we've got to get in telehealth of some sort. And now again, I am not in disagreement that those things should be happening in a school.
Yep.
You know, there definitely should be more counselors and their caseload should be far lower. And students certainly should have access to therapy and what, you know, all of that within a school.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm a person who has participated in therapy myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you have too. And I know plenty of other people have. And so the thing that bothers me about, like, that's what always follows in the article is mm-hmm. just like, and they need therapy. Because I am like, okay, even if you go to therapy,
yep.
you're not there for 7 hours a day.
Yep.
And, you know, you go once or twice a month mm-hmm. for 30 minutes or an hour. Mm-hmm. And your therapist never says to you, this is all you need. Just come to these appointments. Your life will be good. You know, it's about all the lifestyle factors and things mm-hmm. that you can do to support the work and the things that you're talking about in therapy. Mm-hmm. But, right, do you know what I'm talking about? Well, you know, because I pass a lot of this stuff on to you, but I'm like, but in schools, we're like, and here's the answer.
What I hear you saying is, because, right, I know it's nuanced, because if we were to be like, the answer isn't counselors, people will be like, you know, and what I hear you saying is, well, because if you had more counselors, it would give students opportunity to meet with somebody once a month, let's say, for an hour. But what about the day-to-day? What can we do if we know we have students in front of us in schools for 7 hours a day, every day?
And we know their number one barrier right now is stress, anxiety, and overwhelm.
Right. That 1 hour a month isn't going to...
Yeah, you're freaking out right. Monday through Thursday, and I'm like, just wait till your appointment next Monday.
Yes.
So... Yes, thank you for spelling that out. Mm-hmm. So, right, I'm more like, what is possible are the lifestyle factors. Mm-hmm. You know, what is possible is more movement. What mm-hmm. is possible? Access to fresh air. What is possible? Healthy relationships and community building. What is possible? Less screen time. Like, mm-hmm. all the things that are going to be recommended to you. And please, listeners, put your comments in our comments. Tell us what are all the lifestyle factors that you've participated in and that you know about. I just am like, I'm baffled that that's always like smoothed over. We act like, well, until all that happens, the kids will still just be stressed, anxious, and overwhelmed, I guess.
Right.
Instead of being like the whole, what can we do now to help? Of course, I'm going to say this and hope it catches on, to help regulate their nervous systems so that it's not interfering with their daily functioning.
Mm-hmm. Look at that little thread that was woven through this episode. But I'll also offer too, you know, I even had the thought the other day of like, you know, so like a kid goes to school all day and they're sitting there, they have to comply and they have to like... really just take in all this information. And then it's like they go home and I feel like there's so many after school activities that kids are doing from very young. Cause even I have a 5 and a 7 year old and even people be like, oh, what does your 5 year old do? And I'm like, nothing.
B5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? And they're like, what do you mean? Like, what about basketball? What about this? What about that? You know? And whatever. But, and so I'll see like kids are just going. And I'm like, holy cow. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a lot mm-hmm. on a developing mm-hmm. brain and body.
Well, there you go. There, I'll add that to the lifestyle factor. Downtime.
Yes.
Just like legit.
Being.
Downtime.
So then I think to myself, and right, you guys can be like, you guys are cuckoo. But I'm not. But I'll even think about, you know what would be really great for homework for kids? Setting a consistent bedtime routine.
Oh, yeah, that's the big one.
Because it's so foundational to your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I worry about all these kids who go to school all day, then have all these after school sports extracurriculars, then they've got however much homework or reading to do, that it's really getting into their sleep cycles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Where I'm like, what if homework was just... create a consistent bedtime routine.
Mm-hmm.
Go to bed at a good time.
Yeah. You know, take care of yourself. Health in a healthy way.
Right. You know, well, again, integrating that.
That's what they're going to tell you in therapy. You know? That's
right.
You know, and so how do you support that mm-hmm. in your regular life? But I love it. I've always said that. Sleep's my solution.
Yeah.
I've been saying that for years, being like, I'm interested. Has there been a school yet? I would love to be, you know, help a school district, you know, because often they'll, you know, create or pick like a district-wide initiative Oh, yeah. I think a healthy sleep initiative for everybody mm-hmm. would be really beneficial. Well, we talk about it with our students.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Or not even just talk about it. Like, they engage in that work. They've done sleep trackers.
And it's work.
Yeah. Well, and they've done sleep trackers, sleep assessments, sleep awareness.
But I even mean it's work because I can really see with the students we work with where, like, I mean, even just an adult, like, you can be on a great sleep routine for a week and then, right, stress happens, life happens, a good show comes on, you got to stay up for whatever, mm-hmm. and it may knock you off. Like, so how do you live life in just the way that we live life, you know, as far as, like, things come up, stress comes up, an event comes up, whatever, and still prioritize sleep?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, to me, I'm like, what a foundationally great skill.
Well, that gets into the whole two, like, later starts for school.
Sure. So when I think about 2023 resolutions, hopes related to mental health in this, yeah, I'm energized by and want people to know exactly like you of, like, really foundationally what we're talking about with this mental health stuff is really more and more people understanding regulation and the human nervous system and how important and essential having a regulated nervous system is to our just everyday existing.
Well, and something that I have talked about is if we're saying the problems are this vast, I think the solution should be as vast too. If stress, anxiety, and overwhelm is everywhere, then our efforts to alleviate that should be everywhere too. That's in our environments in school. It's in our practices as professionals. Mm-hmm. It's in our policies that guide our work. Mm-hmm. That's my hope for 2023, mm-hmm. that the solutions become as equally evident as the problem.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So, yeah, let's hear from you all about what you think about your 2023 aspirations or what you hear from what we're saying. Are you like, oh, my gosh, ladies, you're too much pie in the sky? Or can you see this happening in our school systems? What are you seeing, hearing? We want this to kind of generate conversation to really help bring forth maybe great creative solutions.
Transformation.
Right.
That's 2023.
Get ready. She's going to come up with some cute little, you know, like kitschy saying for 2023.
Yeah,
it'll come. It'll come. I know it. So, right. Thank you, everybody, to listening to the two of us dream today and talk about our transformational ideas. Tell us what you guys think about it through our Facebook and our Instagram at Educators Amplified. You can always email us at educatorsamplified@gmail.com. Comment, like, all that good stuff. Let's have this generate a really great conversation so that we can feel empowered and hope and energy into this new year and school year.
The shift. The shift that will settle our nervous systems. Bring it on.
Bye.
Educators Amplified, the podcast, is recorded at Silver City Studios in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Theme music composed by Josh Evert with original music by DJ Drip Sweat. Thank you to our sponsor, WEA Academy.
Educators Amplified, the podcast.